You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking Boston Red Sox with MLB.com's Red Sox beat reporter, Ian Brown. Ian, the Red Sox showed a little momentum and seemed like they were getting closer to it, but as July 31st approaches, certainly can't write this team out. They are, in games, pretty close, but it's a tough hill to climb. So I wonder, as we've got 30 days to the nine-waiver trade deadline, they pretty much said, and it makes sense, they're not going to just completely blow this up. But could this team be kind of a soft seller between now and July 31st?
I really don't get that sense. I think that this road trip they've had, it's been a pretty good road trip, and I think it's, you know, even without Dustin Pedroia and Hanley Ramirez for the first part of it, so I think it's kind of, you know, it's kind of proved to them, you know, what they can be if they just start to play a little better. There's not a dominant team, you know, in this division. So I think that I'm kind of doubting they're going to be a seller unless they just go on another one of those real tailspins. I think they're going to see if they can come out of this thing. And the Red Sox aren't in a position where they can just blow up their team, you know, three out of, you know, they did it in 2012. They did it again last year. I think that they think that this team, they put this team together, and I think they're going to stick with it. And hopefully they'll play better down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of what I wonder is I think it's pretty clear they're not going to do anything drastic. I guess there aren't really a whole lot of those sort of one-year pieces that you'd move just because you wouldn't miss them. How close would they have to be to tilt from sort of in between to adding pieces?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, right now they're around seven back. I think you get that down to you know, three or four by the deadline, I think then you kind of owe it to yourself to try to add to the team. And I think that's what you see happen if they can trim it down. So they're just going to go, they're just going to read it as best they, you know, read and react sort of as best they can. I mean, last year they came very close to adding before the deadline. They got it down to three and a half or four and a half, and then they went on a tailspin the week leading up to the trade deadline, so they ended up blowing the whole thing up. So just like I said, read and react, and then make the best decision you can as they get as close as possible to July 31st.
What's the read from upper management ownership on what has happened here? I mean, I think a lot of people, this was not just in-house that people thought this was going to be a good club. I mean, I have a little bias because I picked them to win, the American League, actually. So I have a little bias on it, but this was a team people thought was going to be very good. And look, because it's Boston, people have overreacted. This isn't a terrible team. They're, again, seven or eight games under, so it's not like it's a terrible team. But I think it's certainly fair to say they've underachieved. So
yeah.
When the decision makers look at this roster and this half season, what do they see?
You know, I think they see, Matthew, a roster of guys who underperformed. I mean, it'd be different if, you know, Ben Cherington had put together a roster of a bunch of guys who had played up to their track records and the team was still seven or eight out. I mean, I think that nobody could have forecasted that Mike Napoli would have a year like he's having so far. Nobody could forecast that they'd lose, you know, not just their starting catcher, but both their catchers. You know, nobody could have forecasted quite a few of things. You know, David Ortiz's slow start. I think just some things Rick Porcello is another guy. You expected him to pitch a lot better than he has. So I think just a combination of, you know, people not living up to performance, I think that's why, you know, ownership isn't saying, you know, what was Ben Cherington thinking? Because, you know, generally, you know the game well enough to know that, you know, generally guys are, like, within range of their track record and do get there, you know, by the end of the year. And for whatever reason, this team has had a lot of guys underperform and they've had some untimely injuries. So I don't think that ownership is kind of looking at the front office and saying, you know, these guys don't know what they're doing anymore. And same thing with the front office looking at manager John Farrell. I think they still have a lot of confidence that he could be the right guy for this team. And it's really important for the Red Sox to just play better the rest of the way.
When people talked about this rotation, optimists, you know, pessimists said, well, who's the one? It's a rotation of four or five starters. I think if you were optimistic, Porcello was really a guy you pointed to. I mean, Buchholz is a guy you never know, could be great and could struggle. He's been pretty great lately. But I think Porcello was a lot of people looked at and said, if anybody's going to step forward, this guy has a chance to be the one who steps forward, the guy who is the front of this rotation, who might start a game one of the playoffs. And he's just been dismal. What's going on with Porcello that he has had such a rough year?
Yeah, I just think it's the classic case of a guy who goes to a new team, signs a new contract, goes to a bigger market, and then feels like, oh, I have to live up to this. So instead of trying to be the Rick Porcello, he has in the past. He's been a pretty effective pitcher. He's trying too hard to live up to the salary, be a $20 million pitcher, and I just think that putting too much pressure on himself, essentially. I think sometimes it takes these guys about a half a season to sort of right themselves. And I remember, you know, this is a kind of a dated reference, but I remember when Mike Hampton came to the New York Mets the first half of that year. He first couple of months, he really got into the same sort of thing. And then he just sort of settled down and pitched like he could. So I just think it happens to guys sometimes when they go to a new team. So I think that Porcello will eventually just say, hey, I just need to get back to who I am, not worry about the $20 million price tag, and just kind of get back to the basics a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting because there aren't any indications that there's something physically wrong. He seems to be, as far as approach, kind of pitching the same way. He's just getting hit hard. Do you see anything in his pitches that makes you say, oh, that's not right, aside from everything?
No, it's been kind of, with Porcello, it's been kind of an isolated thing, bad inning here, bad inning there, just things kind of snowballing. I mean, this guy still has the pitches that he had last year when he won 15 games to the Tigers, and I think he's just a classic case of a guy who's in his own head a little bit, and hopefully now that the team is playing a little bit better, maybe he'll take a little pressure off himself because they really could use him to be dependable every fifth day instead of what he's been.
Elsewhere in the rotation, Justin Masterson is back in and turned in a decent game in his first start back. Is he there for a while?
Yeah, Masterson's in there as long as he wants to pitch like he did last time out. You know, it's kind of based on performance right now. So if he pitches well enough to hold down that spot, that's his spot to lose right now. Joe Kelly is out of the mix right now. He's trying to get his group back at Pawtucket. And if Masterson falters, they'll either look to go back to Kelly or they'll see, one of the other kids, whether it's a Brian Johnson or somebody that's obviously worked out quite well when they brought Eduardo Rodriguez up. So just kind of a wait and see with Masterson and see if he can sort of, turn into a dependable guy that he's been in the past.
On the offensive side, they get Hanley Ramirez back. Is the expectation that he's full green, good to go, or is he still kind of to be watched carefully for a little while here?
Yeah, I don't know about watched carefully, but he still has some discomfort in that hand. He took a pretty good beating there on that hand with that pitch. So, I think that just his presence in the lineup, though, is going to help for a little bit, and it might take him a week or two to really get the power back. But, yeah, I think he's going to have some discomfort. He's just going to have to play through some discomfort for a little bit. And the good thing about Hanley I've seen this year is that, he's had a knock as a guy who didn't play through things, especially when he was in Los Angeles. He's played through a couple things this year and kind of come back even earlier than expected. So I think he kind of really is all in for this team, and he's still trying to shed that reputation for some of the things he's done in the past. But I think that he really wants to play and hold himself accountable for this team and for the contract he signed.
It's kind of noteworthy to me that as the Red Sox have played a little better, and look, nobody's saying they've really taken off, but as they played a little better, at the same time, David Ortiz has been a little more than a little better. Seven home runs in his last 20 games, looking a little more like the guy that you expect to see. I'm fully aware that there's no sport that is less a one-man sport than baseball. With that said, how much of a difference would it make if nothing else changed, but David Ortiz started hitting like you expect him to hit for the next 3 months?
Yeah, I mean, it makes a huge difference. A guy like David Ortiz, and even Mike Napoli for that matter, a guy like that starts hitting, it changes the dynamic of a whole lineup because it just gives you that threat you need in the middle of the lineup where they can't, they can't pitch around. And the problem with the Red Sox earlier this year when Ortiz wasn't hitting is they were pitching around too many other guys and they weren't paying for it. Now that David is right in the middle of things again, and hopefully when they get Dustin Pedroia back soon, that's another guy. And so, Mookie Betts has really started to get on track again. Even Jackie Bradley's taking a good swing. So suddenly you've got, a deeper lineup. It's a much tougher lineup to pitch around where you just had too many weak spots in the lineup before. So I think that it is a great sign that Ortiz is hitting again. And it shows that, he does still have some baseball left in him. And the worst fear that, age has finally caught up with him and he was completely washed up. That's clearly not the case the way he's been swinging the bat lately.
All right, well, Ian Brown, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.